superior piece of manpower.
The Sound of Mobile presents The Game Plan with Dave Schultz, live on 105.5 FM, online at WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app.
Lest we forget.
Root, I don't know what happened. I was ahead all day long. And then 2:40 happened, and I fell behind. Probably on me.
It's that midday lack of energy that kind of comes in waves. Right, that's all right.
Yeah. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. On a Tide Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. We may need and or get an emergency double team podcast. Zion's timetable. Excuse me. Zion doesn't have a timetable when he's going to be ready. Just to let you know, the season opens a week from yesterday.
19th.
Well, that's not what that's when the season opens, but yeah. The Pelicans play on the 20th. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I joked if it was going to be between, you know, opening day and Thanksgiving, and then you could joke between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We'll see how much Zion plays before 2022, because that's where I'm going. I don't trust David Griffin. I don't trust Zion Williamson. It's very disappointing. He's out of shape. He's injured. And I don't know what exactly is going on. But I know he's not going to be playing for at least a couple of weeks. All right. Also, I'm not buying there's no timetable. What they tell us.
I mean, there has to be.
And what there is, there's two different things. So there's a timetable. They're just not telling us what the timetable is. You could underpromise and overdeliver. We think he'll be back sometime in January. And then he's back December 1st. Everyone's happy. Look at that. But they're probably afraid to say he'll probably be back, you know, second week in November, and it's Christmas, and he hasn't played yet. So that's what they're guarding against. That's what they're guarding against. All right. Meanwhile, we'll get to the topics at hand. Dan Lust, sports attorney, has been on with us before. We got the Gruden emails, that investigation. The Schefter emails came up in a separate investigation, I believe, so we'll talk to him about that. Also, something that's been going on, if you've been following him online, there's a major NFL lawsuit going on in St. Louis that could have huge ramifications. And when I mean that, I mean serious coin. We got Kevin Payne with fantasy football. It's amazing, Root. All the people that I wanted in our ESPN leagues couldn't get. I went to the paid league. I got two running backs. I'm stacked at running back. I didn't need them even, but I'm stacked. We got Bruce Marshall's out of the country. Apparently, he really wanted to go see the Jaguars and the Dolphins in London.
Wouldn't?
Is that where he is?
I don't know.
He's out of the country, so I presume that's where he's going. So I got my buddy Little Nicky, Nick Fontenot, to help out with our picks. Nick Kelly will hop on from the Tuscaloosa News talking Tide, and Christian Clemente talking Tigers on a Tide and Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. I mean, we got Tampa Bay tonight. We got South tonight. We got Giants-Dodgers tonight. I still don't think that Dodgers-Giants game should be starting 8:30 Eastern time. I know it's out west, and they want people in the stands. I got a feeling if you started that game at 3 p.m., they'd have people in the stands. I don't think that's a problem. But that game will not end before midnight Eastern time. So it starts here at 7:30. All right. Lots to do today. Give us a call if you want. 694-1055. 694-1055. My question for you is, let's go over the Alabama issues, and can they be fixed this year? I don't think Bill O'Brien's getting fired this year. He may take the USC job, but I don't think he's getting fired. I don't think Pete Golding's getting fired. I also don't think it's necessarily all their fault. It's not on Bill O'Brien if the wide receivers drop the football. It's not. And maybe on Bill O'Brien for passing, although we did hear Rodney Orr suggest it may not have been all on Bill O'Brien either. It may have been on Bryce Young changing the play. It's also not on Bill O'Brien that the players that are currently on the team are not as good. Still very good. They're just not as good as the guys that they're replacing. I don't care if Malachi Moore is in the game and Job is in the game and Helms is in the game. They're not as good as Patrick Surtain. There is not one player right now on Alabama, offensively or defensively, for that fact of the matter, who's as good as Patrick Surtain. Brian Robinson had a really nice game last week. He's a solid football player. He's a really good football player. He's not Najee Harris. He's not. The wide receivers are not any of the previous four. Will Anderson, really good, just doesn't have a whole lot of running mates on that line. No one's Quinton Williams. And so what are you guys telling me what you think the issues are? And I think one popped up. They don't have the consistently explosive offense that they've had the last couple of years. If you want to say 3 years, we can go that way. They don't have that same kind of offense because while the players are still very good, they're not quite as good as what they had before. And maybe people are catching on. They do not have a pass rush as they've had before. They don't. It's actually, the pass rush is basically the same thing as it's been the last couple of years. I could talk about LSU not quite having a pass rush, but it kind of felt like in 2019, LSU, Dave Aranda had like a first half defense and then made the adjustments and had a second half defense. The Kyle Trask football game would be a great example of it. The Alabama game would actually be the opposite of a good example of it because Alabama made a run in the second half. That may have been the offense kind of not taking as many chances. So the issue of not a pass rush has been there for a few years. Is it Henry Toa-Toa? Is that how we say his name?
Yep.
Okay. He's not quite as good as advertised. He's not bad. He's not bad. He's just not great. He's not that middle linebacker that Alabama has had in the past. So that's an issue. All right. But that was an issue last year as well when they were working with a couple of injured linebackers. So that's been an issue. That's one that can't be fixed. All right. And now we got another one with that offensive line where Saban's saying and telling me that it's communication issues. We're overloading on one side. So it's a communication issue. I got to go back and look at it, but if I got four guys rushing on one side of the line, how does the left guard get to the other side? How do you do that? I don't know. Also, I don't understand this one. This is an Auburn thing, but Alabama had the same issues with the drops, right? I don't understand the whole lack of focus thing. That seems to me an excuse. And I'm one of those guys that believes, for the most part, there are reasons versus excuses. Well, we didn't have the running game going tonight. We just didn't run it very well. We couldn't protect the passer. Meanwhile, four out of the five starting offensive linemen are out. That's not in any of this case, but just saying, that's usually used as a reason. People see that as an excuse. I see it as a reason. There's a reason why four of those five guys are coming off the bench. They're not as good. So if you're offensive line is banged up, and you don't run it as well, that's a reason. That's not an excuse. I don't understand. Do we not think that John Metchie was concentrating on catching the football on third down with under 3 minutes to go? Do we think that's a thing? Is that really a thing? Do we think that Sean Shivers wasn't concentrating on catching the football? It's a focus thing? What, I mean, are you thinking about something else? You think about going out after the game at that point in time? Now, I'll be honest with you, I have a focus issue. During interviews, I have to stay off my phone unless I'm looking up for something specifically, either that the author wrote that we're having on, the writer, or something specifically that I'm asking a question on. But a lot of times, I will put my computer screen down so I'm not doing something that I shouldn't be. It's one thing if I'm looking up, the betting line to ask, what do you think on this line? That's a different story. But I need to focus on the interview, and usually you get about half a dozen questions and you do follow-ups. But I don't understand what else I'm supposed to be focusing on if I'm not catching the football. That sounds like an excuse when you just drop the football. The reason was he wasn't concentrating on something else, he just dropped the football. The lack of focus thing seems to be an excuse. Now, having said all that, Alabama says, and Nick Saban, Root, you got that? Some of my Twitter sound? All right. Nick Saban says the team has responded well to... He says he's responded well to the loss and have doing well in practice, something that I'm sure Coach Saban is pleased with. And is like the way that practice has gone this week. All right, I'm stalling while Root gets to the actual Twitter one. I think it may be the first one. All right, go ahead.
I think the most important thing we keep trying to emphasize with the players, which they have done a pretty good job of, is, you know, responding the right way to try to improve and do things in a way that's going to help them create value for themselves and help them create value for the team. You know, if you don't create any value for Alabama, you don't create any value for yourself. So everybody's got to focus on finishing. And I think it's a cue every day. When you practice, you get tired, you get lots of reps, that when you start to get that way, that's a cue for you to finish. And, you know, you got to finish plays, you got to finish games. We certainly didn't finish the last game. The last 5 minutes of the game was not what we needed it to be. So that's something that we have to continue to work on. You know, playing at Mississippi State, I mean, every game we've ever had over there has been really, really difficult. Their team is playing really well, so this is going to be a real challenge for us, and we're going to have to bring our A game, play our best against a lot of really good players on both sides of the ball. So it's always a difficult place to play with the Cowboy Bells and all that, but we've been in a couple difficult circumstances so far this year, so hopefully we can continue to improve how we manage that.
So it will be interesting on what happens. We'll see if, you know, how Alabama goes after their defensive line. We'll see how Mississippi State goes after their offensive line. If any of these issues, and let's pay attention to, you know, are they getting any pressure on, was it Will Rogers?
It is.
All right. If they're trying to, they may not even try to. They may just try to stay at the line and knock down some passes, because if he's in shotgun and he's taking a two-step drop and letting it go, there's a lot of short passes that act like handoffs. So we'll pay attention to that. And I guess we'll see if they're catching the football. You would presume that they would. We'll see if they run it differently in the red zone. All right. I'm still trying to figure out why, you know. I mean, maybe Rodney Orr was right that they didn't run it enough in the red zone, but did Bill O'Brien call a pass, or did Bryce Young switch out of it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people thinking that this game on Saturday, that you do not want to be Mississippi State after losing a game.
That's true.
But I'm not really just buying that all the way.
I'd be much more comfortable if this game was in Bryant Denny, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's right about playing there for sure. And and there are decent players for Mississippi State. I mean, they're not a great team, but playing at home, they have good enough players to kind of make this a game. I don't think it's going to be I'm not going to say they're going to win. I'm absolutely not saying that, but I do think all these concerns are not fixed overnight or even this season, I don't think. I think there are some valid, legitimate holes that just kind of is what it is this year, and there's not anything you can do. There's no Band-Aid you can really put over it. You kind of got what you got at this point of the year.
Right.
So I think this game, I think Mississippi State will be able to score in this game.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. All right. If they can score in this football game, they're going to be in it, what I think. And because what's going to happen is Alabama's going to get a little nervous.
Yeah.
The closer this game is, the longer Mississippi State stays in this ballgame like A&M did, we'll see how Alabama responds, because they did not respond well last week.
No, at all. Someone in the app, Florida and A&M were the most intense atmospheres they've faced all year.
Right.
How did those games go? So,
it's
absolutely right about playing there.
Right. All right, let's take a timeout. Root gets to beat me in his NFL picks again. Although, again, I'm not sure his math is correct, because I just didn't think I was four games under 500. I thought I was closer to like 14 games under 500.
I do my best to count.
What's that?
I do my best to count. All right. If I can't pull that off, then I don't know what I can do right.
Root is over 500. He may be just under. Maybe we could do a little math. Just under the winning. It's like 52.4% to be winning cash.
Yep.
You're right about there. You're just about there. All right, back after this. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, just getting started on a Tide and Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. Dan Lust at 3:30, sports attorney, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.5 The Soul, classic rhythm and blues.
Hi, this is Jake Peavy, MLB.
All right, we'll go over some of the comments in the app here a little bit later. We usually make this two segments, so let's see if we can make it one. Root, you got my pick music? There you go. All right. It is the gold sheet. That's what we're going off of. Little Nicky. Nick Fontenot will be by filling in for a Bruce Marshall to help you with your picks, because he's probably better at this than I am. What's the overall record?
Let me find it. I had it just a minute ago. I was... What was I?
Well, you were 41-38-2.
There you go.
I think I was 35-39. Was there a 1 in there with me or something?
We're both and 2.
Okay, so I'm 35-39-2. All right. So Root's not doing too poorly. All right, you ready?
Let's go.
All right, Tom Brady and his bad thumb. The Bucks in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I think, with a surprising win over Carolina. Spread is 6.5. In fact, it's 7 for Tampa Bay. I'm going to take the underdog. I think Brady and the Bucks win, but Philadelphia covers.
I'll take the Bucks to cover. I don't believe in the Eagles. I do definitely think that was a surprise win. I think a lot of people, you know, thought Carolina was pretty decent of a team. Yeah, I'll take the Bucks to cover the 7.
A lot of pressure on Miami in London taking on Jacksonville. This could be Jacksonville's best bet to win one other than Houston. I'm going to take the Jags. I think getting out of the country, a little mail bonding, you know, hopefully they can go win one for Urban Meyer. Tua's coming back for Miami, though. I will say that. Tua's supposed to be back for Miami. I'm going to take Jacksonville plus the 3.
I'm not going to. Like you said about Jacksonville, if there's ever a chance for them to win, it might be this one. But on the other flip side of that, if there's ever a time for Miami to get right, maybe they can do it against Jacksonville. I'll take the Dolphins.
There's just as much pressure on Tua, by the way, to look good, because Justin Herbert is kind of looking MVP-ish.
Yep.
Is a problem there. All right, Houston and Indianapolis. Goodness gracious. I'm going to take the Colts in this one. No, I'll rephrase that. I'm going to take Houston in this one. Because I don't think the Colts are going to win by 10. I think the Colts will win, but I'm taking Houston. Houston looked pretty good. Patriots got a pretty good defense, although it's not nearly as good as everybody said it was. Davis Mills looked good. I'm going to take Houston because I don't trust Carson Wentz and the Colts.
You said it best. I'll ride the Texans with you. I don't trust the Colts.
All right. Green Bay and Chicago. Boy, the Raiders laid an egg last week. I'm going to take Green Bay minus the 5 at Chicago. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, me too. Also, news coming out just not long ago, Damian Williams, running back, Chicago, placed on the COVID-19 reserve list. So that's a big-time part of their offense. All they'll right. be without. Give me the Packers.
Also, by the way, I think it's Goddard. Is his name Dallas Goddard?
Dallas Goddard.
Yeah, all right. On the Eagles.
Yep.
He's out too, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
With Zach Ertz program. Might have a big game.
All right. Kansas City and Washington. Kansas City has just not played very well this year, mostly because of the defense. The offense is really good, but the defense sort of stinks. I don't trust Washington either. I would take the over-under is 54, but I'll take Kansas City minus the 6.5.
Yeah, I will too. And a lot of talk about, maybe we can talk about this more later, but Washington retiring the jersey of Sean Taylor should have been done a long time ago. But a lot of people thinking this is some kind of publicity stunt or diversion, trying to get people to focus on this and not all that else is going on.
Right.
But to the game, Chiefs minus 6.5.
I certainly wouldn't put it past Washington to have a bad PR move. That's absolutely the case. All right, Carolina, oddly enough, an underdog at home, minus 1.5. I think Christian McCaffrey's coming back, Root. If he's coming back, I'm taking... Well, we'll hedge our bets. How about that one? If Christian McCaffrey is playing, I'm taking Carolina. If Christian McCaffrey is not playing, I'm taking Minnesota. How about that?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay?
I might do the same thing with you. I think he is... They said about 50-50 a few days ago. So maybe he does come back for this game, but... I'll do the same thing with you. I like that.
All right. Well, it's a game-time decision. We don't have to really place our bets until, you know, Sunday at 11:55.
But if he does not play, I'm taking the bike.
With little Nicky. Chargers and Baltimore. Baltimore, 2.5-point favorite. Yeah, I think Baltimore has had a bunch of win-and-move-ons this year. a bunch of winning moves on. Those count, so there's no top 25, so it doesn't matter. But I think they've been a little bit fortunate, although they did get unfortunately beat by Vegas. Maybe the Chargers have also had some winning moves on. I think the Chargers are just better. I think the Chargers win this. I'll take the 2.5 if you're giving me 2.5 against Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that is a tough game that I can't wait to see. Lamar Jackson has looked really, really good the past couple games. That one is tough as can be. I'm a huge fan of what the Chargers are doing right now. I don't know. I will take the Ravens.
All right. I would have liked it. I would have Cincinnati should have lost that game, then should have won that game, and then should have lost the game, and then still lost the game. Last week against Green Bay, Joe Burrow had a god-awful interception, but Crosby missed like the second of his three field goals before he made one. Detroit keeps on playing hard. Dan Campbell's got them going in the right direction. They're not very good, but they don't get blown out. But this is only a 3.5-point line. I'm going to take the Bengals.
Detroit is going to get their first win.
All right.
It's going to happen here. You're right. The talent on the team is subpar, but they are coached up. Dan Campbell is doing a great job, I believe, with what he's got to work with.
He is.
The Lions get it done.
This is one of those games, Root, that the line is not right. Something's wrong with the line. The Rams are at the Giants. I'm not sure if the Giants have one starter at all. Tony, Shepard, Saquon, Jones, they're all out, or could be out. It's 9.5. I'll take the Rams. The only thing that has me nervous here is that the Rams may take the Giants a little lightly. And go see the Giants. They're kind of like the Lions. They got some wins, but they play tough. I'll still take the Rams because there's just not a whole lot of Giants there.
Yeah, I think this game might have the opportunity to get ugly. I'll take the Rams.
Cleveland against Arizona. I'm going to take Arizona in this one, Root, but this is a statement game if you're the Browns.
It really is. Playing at home, they're going to be fired up for this game. That with this game and the Chargers-Ravens, those are two of the games of the weekend. Can't wait for this one. Cardinals can really show people that they might be one of, if not the best team in the NFL. It's a tough one to pick. I'll take the home team, Browns.
I'm a little bit surprised. It's actually like a pick 'em game because Cleveland's getting the 3 points at home, but I'm a little bit surprised maybe. And it's a late afternoon game, so it's not until 4. So it's not first thing in the morning. That may help out Arizona. I will take the Cardinals plus the 3. Denver and Vegas. I mean, Vegas is a mess. Denver's not much better. Do we even know who the Denver quarterback is? I don't know. I'll still take the Broncos minus 3.5.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's so crazy to try to predict what a team might do and when they might get fired up, what they might rally around. Do they come out and play inspired without their coach, now gone, John Gruden? But I don't trust the Broncos at all. I'm going to take the Raiders.
Another line here, Root, that makes no sense. Why is Dallas only a 3.5-point favorite over New England in New England? I don't get it. All right. I love this music. This is the best. Bom, 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 bom. Dak Prescott, Mac Jones. Monday night football. It's actually not Monday night football. Sunday afternoon football. I don't like betting against my Pats. I really don't.
Don't.
Does it count as a reverse jinx if I call it a reverse jinx, or are you supposed to keep the reverse jinx quiet?
Too late. They're going to lose.
All right. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I don't know why. This should not be close. 3.5. Cowboys.
Me too. No brainer.
Reverse jinx. Pittsburgh minus 5 against Seattle. I'll take Pittsburgh, although I wouldn't be surprised if Geno Smith, he better play well because I got DK Metcalf.
Yeah, Seattle is really banged up, obviously. I expect the Steelers to really feel like they have to win this game and win it not handily, but I think they will. Give me the Steelers.
All right, Monday Night Football. Buffalo, I think, is the best team in the game. They're going to Tennessee. Here you go. Bom, bom. 5.5. Josh Allen and his arm against Derrick Henry and his legs. It's the Buffalo Bills against the Tennessee Titans. Monday Night Football. Buffalo minus the 5.5.
To make a note on this game, it looks like it will have both A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, if that might change your mind, but I don't think it will.
No.
Buffalo is the best team in the league, I do believe. Give me the Bills.
All right. Those are our picks, and we did it in one segment.
Although
it was a little long. All right. We got Dan Lust, sports attorney, coming up next. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. We go from 80s theme to, well, I guess it's still 80s, right? 80s football theme to Michael Jackson. That just threw me off for a second. All right. Also another good song. All right, back after this on a Tide and Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.5 The Soul, classic rhythm and blues.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root on a Titan Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. We'll get to Dan Lust here in a second. And our last Zion polling question, Root, we had 211 votes. It's over 24 hours. We already have 108 votes today in less than an hour.
I guess you put up some better options to
well,
vote on.
Yeah,
this
last
one.
Time it was like, how many games will he play between now and Thanksgiving? 5, 10, 15, or all 20. So a quarter of their schedule is between the opener and Thanksgiving. Now David Griffin is saying there's no timetable for his return. There's nothing wrong, but no timetable, at least not telling us what it is. So I changed it from 0, 1, 2, or 3. I got 0. I don't know if he's going to be playing before Christmas. I say 2022. I am not happy about that. All right. I am happy about and thrilled that Dan Lust is joining us from Contentrumental Podcast, sports attorney Dan Lust. Dan, thanks for hopping on, man. You've been all over the place lately.
I like how you say you're thrilled to have me join. Listen, I am a Joe Schmo here.
Okay? No,
I'm speaking about legal cases.
No.
Big deal. Okay, you're a big deal, Dave. You have your own radio show.
No. I would tend to say that since you hopped on the Nebraska bandwagon, they've improved exponentially because before you got there, they were god-awful.
I will take all the credit for
yes.
it. They actually call me the legal offensive coordinator.
Right.
That's what my title is.
That's what it should be. All right. So I want to start with yesterday's news first with the Schefter deal because I feel like there's like three things going on here all at the same time and we need to separate them because we got the Gruden emails in the investigation. We got the Gruden emails. That's connected to the investigation of Daniel Snyder with the Washington football team employees. But I think that the Schefter email came out in a different investigation. Wasn't that between Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen?
So I'll unwind it. I think you've done a pretty good job explaining it. I guess I'll provide a little bit more color.
Please do.
You're not wrong. This is it's kind of a black hole, and you've seen me talk about it on Twitter. The Washington football team is playing, at least from my vantage point as an attorney, they're playing like sports law bingo, right? I'm not a Washington football fan. I'm from New York, but I've covered this team in so many different interesting legal capacities from a trademark standpoint, either trying to change the name, from a defamation lawsuit, which we're about to get into, which is that Bruce Allen case, you know, toxic workplace, sexual harassment. And then you have these leaked emails, and this is all in the span of, like, I don't know, a couple months. So I don't know what is going on at Washington Football Team HQ, but it is not normal by any means, even for an NFL franchise. So here's where you're seeing this, Dave. There was a lawsuit. At some point, there was an offsite, an international news company, not someone that was so famous, but published an article that said that Dan Snyder had confirmed connections to a certain pedophile. You imagine who I'm referencing. I don't want to get sued here either.
Right.
But someone who they've made a Netflix documentary about. That was the allegation, and that was floated out there. So Dan Snyder wanted to figure out who was the source for that particular article. So he believed that the source of that article might be Bruce Allen. So he started a legal proceeding to try to figure out if Bruce Allen was the leak to this offsite company. I believe it was an Indian company that had published this media. The article has since been deleted, so I guess to some extent they retracted it. But Snyder still, was going for his pint of blood. He wanted to figure out who gave them that information. And as part of that, what he did is he put emails in a court filing. Bruce Allen kept saying, "Hey, I'm not the leak. I had no part of this defamation story." And what Dan Snyder said is, "Well, you say you're not the leak, but here's some emails that I found on the company server where you're talking to Adam Schefter about, you know, some particular story. So it looks like you do leak information sometimes. Maybe you leaked information here." So that was the context of the Adam Schefter thing. He's getting caught in the crossfire here. It doesn't really have anything to do necessarily with the Washington football leaks with Gruden, but it's a separate leak that I guess it was filed back in June of 2021. So that's how Schefter's involved. And I guess, you know, for those that don't know, Schefter, there's an email Schefter sending it to Bruce Allen, which he's acknowledged was him. You know, any comments, Mr. Editor, or something along those lines, which, you know, I guess in journalistic sense, you shouldn't be sending your source the complete article ahead of time and asking him to proofread it or make edits. But neither here nor there necessarily. But then, you know, fast forward, and then I'll give back to you, Dave. You know, Gruden, we're talking about one email leak, right, with John Gruden. So Gruden's name comes out. Bruce Allen's name comes out in the Gruden leaks, because I guess he was emailing back and forth with Gruden. And then the separate chain between Bruce Allen and Adam Schefter. So those are the batches of emails we're talking about.
All right, so now let's go back to the Washington investigation and where these emails are coming from, because I'm trying to figure out what the investigation is. All right, so was there an NFL investigation? And I also thought that Dan Snyder hired an attorney to do an investigation. So where are we with that? Which one are these emails coming from? Because are they both being – did the NFL set up an investigation and Dan Snyder set up an investigation?
So, Dave, you know this. I teach a class on Monday nights at New York Law School. It's a sports law class. This is my prep for my class, all the weeds right. that we are getting into here.
Right.
So in July of 2020, the Washington football team said, we are going to hire an outside law firm to investigate toxic workplace and sexual harassment within our organization. They hired an attorney named Beth Wilkinson.
Correct.
So that was the attorney they hired. She starts the investigation. And then more stuff starts to come out that Dan Snyder was maybe – given the secret, cheerleader wardrobe malfunction type video. And then, you know, the NFL intervenes and they say, you know what, we don't feel comfortable with the NFL not being involved in this investigation. We're going to leave Beth Wilkinson on it, but we want to be involved in the reporting. So we want them to report to us, but Washington football team, you can keep this lawyer you picked, which, you know, I don't think was great. I think you probably should have switched to a new lawyer, but whatever. That's the investigation. That investigation went on from July of 2020 to July of 2021. As far as I'm aware, there was no other investigations, but this is a year-long investigation. When that wrapped in July of 2021, Snyder got hit with a $10 million fine, no other punishment as far as I'm aware of. And then, Dave, that brings us to the leak. 3 months later, these emails trickle out. I'm not sure why they took 3 months to trickle out. I'm not sure why they took a year and 3 months if those emails were in their possession maybe July of 2020. But that's the time frame. That's everything.
And we're talking to Dan Lust, sports attorney. It just feels like, and someone else pointed this out, it was a good job on their part, that the first leak was in the Wall Street Journal. Well, that sounds like someone from the NFL going to the Wall Street Journal, right? I mean, they're buddies. They're both pro-business. It just feels like someone from the NFL is doing the leaking.
Well, the first leak is the Wall Street Journal, and the second leak is the New York Times.
Right.
And mind you, there's only two names associated with that leak. Adam Schefter is not a part of that leak. It's Bruce Allen, and it's John Gruden. Bruce Allen, as I just mentioned, was sued by Dan Snyder and accused of being a leak. He was fired from the organization. Mm. So certainly Dan Snyder is probably fine with Bruce Allen's name being put out there. But everyone else's name, right, is whitewashed and scrubbed from these emails. So a little suspicious, especially with respect to Gruden. Right? Who else, I think New York Times said, and there were, quote, others on the email chain. So, you know, this is not, and I mentioned it on Twitter, this is not a WikiLeaks document dump where everyone's stuff is being put on blast. There's no redactions. Whoever put this out there was very careful to only have two names associated with right. the story, Bruce Allen and John Gruden. You can have your guesses as right. to why, right. but a very, very controlled leak.
All right. Also, it says, I'd ask you this. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question after I read this tweet. Mike Freeman from USA Today. NFL is making simple, cold-blooded calculation. The PR damage of not releasing the emails on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 3. The PR damage of releasing them is a billion. Doing the right or wrong thing isn't a part of that calculation. Do you think all 650,000 emails or the report will ever be released?
Maybe the report on what the emails potentially said and what wrongdoing Dan Snyder was fined $10 million for. Is that possible? Sure. The Deflategate investigation with Tom Brady way back when had a 200-page report. So there is certainly a long precedence of reports being, even the Mitchell report in baseball once upon a time, you know, investigating for steroids. There are usually written reports, not always. So written report, potentially. The unredacted and unfiltered emails, you know, I'd love to tell everybody yes, but I don't think so. I don't see it means that they can be, you know, produced and pried from the NFL's hands. It's not like they're a public organization, you know, right. like the government where you can file a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, or Freedom of Information Law, depending on what state you're in. NFL's a private institution. They can make that decision. It's a business. And whoever's tweet that you just read, I think, was a smart tweet. There's no good that can come with the emails, right? We know right. what's in the emails. We know that Gruden was on extended chains with people talking about homophobic slurs, misogynistic slurs. You know, he hit the full gambit of people that you could possibly offend. What are the chances that nobody else, right, that John Gruden is the only one sending offensive emails? It's slim to none, right? There are other people that will come down as a result of this, and that's why whoever's tweet you read, I think, is right. The 1 to 10, it's like a billion. It cannot go well for the NFL.
Talking to Dan Luss, sports attorney. All right, totally separate subject, and we'll ask you to kind of summarize it because it seems like it's a huge deal, and we're not covering it down here a lot because it doesn't affect us. But the NFL and the city of St. Louis in itself are in a lawsuit. So far, not going very well for the NFL. What is the latest there, and what would the city of St. Louis like as the outcome?
So I'll tie these two together. They are somewhat interrelated. That 650,000 emails, it's not just the fans that want to see them. Litigants in this case also want to see them. The St. Louis Rams, greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, you name them, Marshall Faulk, fantastic team. Eventually that team got up. They were bought by Stan Kroenke, and they moved over to Los Angeles. The question is whether there was a contract between the NFL and essentially Stan Kroenke, that you were not allowed to move a team to a new market, to Los Angeles, unless you went through certain checkpoints. And if you failed to go through these checkpoints, right, having certain town halls, showing a lack of fan support in the team, you know, an adequate stadium, there's a number of different checkpoints. If you failed to show that and the market really wanted the team, there was an understanding, at least to the people of St. Louis, that the team would stay there. So what St. Louis is alleging is essentially fraud, breach of contract, unjust enrichment. And they're saying that they were lied to and led along when the whole time that Stan Kroenke planned to move the team to Los Angeles. If you're a football fan, you need to understand the gist of it. Back in 2012, Coach Jeff Fisher was interviewed for the job for the Rams job, and he's been on record as saying, yeah, they were basically going to move to Los Angeles then. So that's 2012. They don't move until much later, 5-6 years down the road. So the question is whether the St. Louis, whether the Rams were negotiating with the city of St. Louis in bad faith, that they were always planning to move, and they weren't even giving this, you know, their obligations under this relocation policy, taking them seriously at all, and they were just lying through their teeth. Oh, yeah, we're seriously considering staying in St. Louis. Just jump through five hoops, and then, you know, we'll be there. So, yeah, this is essentially a multi-billion dollar case. It involves all 32 NFL owners, and yeah, emails and what executives are saying to one another is certainly at issue, and that's why they want to see what's in these 650,000 emails. So I think the NFL, if they were behind this leak with this John Gruden leak, they've opened up a can of worms because everybody wants to see these emails now, including the NFLPA. DeMaurice Smith is making a plea for these emails. So yeah, I'm not sure what the wisdom behind throwing Gruden under the bus by himself, but you know, that was the move that was made here.
How much could St. Louis win?
For St. Louis perspective, you know, it's I think the fun part about this case, it's going to be tried in front of a St. Louis jury.
Right.
So city of St. Louis in front of a St. Louis jury about the Rams that were stolen, you know, you're going to have some emotions here. I think there's been some reporting that number 10 billion is not a completely far-fetched number when you kind of weigh all these different pieces together. And then there's the fun question, Dave, which I'm sure you know that we've posed. Right. If the NFL just wants to promise them the next team, you know, the 33rd NFL franchise, maybe they can get a haircut or maybe a significant reduction on a potential jury award. Okay. Right now, trial is scheduled for January of 2022. They've survived. City of St. Louis has survived all motions to dismiss. So you're going to have one of two routes here. You're going to have a big settlement or you're going to have a trial. And if it goes to trial, you're going to have some testimony from some NFL owners. It's certainly going to get very, very messy, but interesting from our sake.
Dan, if I was the city of St. Louis, I'd go all Steve Miller, baby. I would take the money and run. I wouldn't deal with the NFL whatsoever.
Yeah, that's the interesting question in St. Louis, right? Do you want your team back,
no.
Or do you want some cash to pay for the economy? So, yeah, certainly an interesting analysis.
Yeah, because they're just going to do the same thing with the team again. All right, Dan Luss, sports attorney, host of the Contetrimental podcast. What's coming up on the podcast?
You know, we've hit this lawsuit very closely, and then also we hit the Gruden stuff. We are at Con Detrimental on social media. The podcast, search for it, is Conduct Detrimental. We talk about all things at the intersection of sports and law. Urban Meyer, we got a lot. Kyrie Irving as well. That's probably going to be our next episode. All that fun stuff.
Yeah, nothing for you to talk about these days. My goodness.
No, right. Nothing at all.
That's why I'm so honored and thrilled you made time for me down here in Mobile. Thanks, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, Dan Luss. There's a ton going on. Dan, we didn't even get into the NFL players that are going to jail, the NBA players that are going to jail. There's a whole lot we could have got in with him.
Now call him back.
All right. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll put a bow on hour number one. Did our votes increase? Let's see. Still up to 112. Not bad. All right. Can vote at Dave WNSP. All right, we do got some good...
Did you find that moron yet?
The Game Plan with Dave Schultz continues on the Sound of Mobile, 105.5 FM, WNSP. Online at WNSP.com and on the WNSP app.
Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. Correction, Root, person in the app. More about commenting on the laugh than criticizing the laugh.
Yeah, well.
More of an observation than a criticism.
Well, there you go.
That's been cleared up.
Feel better?
A little funny. All right, let's see here. 4:30, we'll talk to Little Nicky, Nick Fontenot, to help us out with our NFL picks. Tide and Tiger Report, Nick Kelly, Tuscaloosa News at 5, Christian Clemente, AuburnSports.com at 5:30. We'll take more of your comments and calls in a little bit. Let's talk a little RotoWire, and I need some serious help. He is Kevin Payne from RotoWire. Kevin, David Schultz, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. How's it going?
Not well. I am not well. All right. I am down. Oh, my goodness. I am down. Alvin Kamara, because he's off. The Bills don't like Singletary anymore. And I think my other one, was it Tyson Williams? He's on the outs in Baltimore. I don't know why, because he started off really well. And the guys that they have aren't that much better. So I don't know what happened there. I mean, the top running back, projection running back in my league right now is Brandon Bolden. Help!
Yeah, that's pretty tough. I mean, the only thing that's happened, and this literally happened in the last hour, is Damian Williams from the Bears is now on the COVID list, so it looks like we're going to get Khalil, and I believe his name's Herbert, could be Hebert, depending on, you know, it looks like he's going to be the starter. And he got a ton of touches last week, even with Damian Williams healthy. So I think this is going to be a volume play. I don't know if this is the best matchup at home against Green Bay, but Khalil Herbert, if you can go out and get him now, and I would go ahead and use him at least as a flex, if not a number two running back. Again, just based upon a volume play.
If you can imagine, he was already on a team before these pickups. So everyone was picking up Darrell Williams and Devontae Booker. I mean, do you pick up one of the Patriots running backs? Anywhere from Bolden to, I mean, Damian Harris is banged up and he's fumbling all over. They were talking about getting Stevenson going. Do you take you roll the dice with him? Or what about Jerick McKinnon, now the backup to the backup in Kansas City?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Jerick McKinnon gets a lot more work than what we're anticipating. I think Darrell Williams can get the bulk of the work. And the bad thing for McKinnon's value is the fact that Darrell Williams can handle passes out of the backfield. But I still think McKinnon has some value. Ramondre Stevenson is the guy for New England that if you're worried about the New England backfield, he would be the guy that I would take a look at, even more so over Brandon Bolden. If they think that Damian Harrison is going to be limited or he might even be out, which I don't think is going to happen, but Stevenson's the other interesting guy that I would take a look at. But right now, that's diving really, really deep. But that's what we're going to have to do over these next few weeks. We're here at the bye weeks. We've got another early game in London. But all these bye weeks, you're going to go ahead and have to start hitting the waiver wire and taking a look at these guys who are second and third stringers who may go ahead and get a shot just because that you got somebody on the bye.
Yeah, no, I was able to pick up Herbert and Booker in one league, just not Darrell Williams. So I'm all set at running back. I got Devontae Booker, Derrick Henry, A.J. Dillon, who's been pretty good in fantasy, Khalil Herbert, there you go. Devin Singletary can take a back seat. All right, we got some other people who have some questions. You ready?
Let's go.
All right, get your questions in the app. Even Root will answer a phone call, and he'll pass it on. Devontae Booker or Deontay Johnson as a flex?
Deontay Johnson for sure. I know we look at Seahawks and we're like, oh gosh, it's the Seahawks. They're great defense. No, they have not been this year. So Deontay Johnson over Booker for sure.
Fournette, Miles Gaskin, or Devontae Booker?
Gosh, I'm going to say Fournette. Believe it or not, I believe his over-under for scrimmage yards tonight is 97.5. And Tampa, they really like this guy just because they know he can hang on to the ball. Ronald Jones seems to be in the doghouse. Gio Bernard's going to get some work, but I think Fournette is the guy that's going to be the safest guy to go to and the guy that's going to get the goal line work.
Need two. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, or Mike Evans? And I need that decision tonight.
I think this is finally going to be a Keenan Allen week. He's got a great matchup going across the country. The Ravens are not very good. We saw that the other night. So I think this is a Keenan Allen week. I'm going to go with him, just given the fact that other teams are going to notice that Mike Williams is doing a lot. They're going to have to give some coverage off to him. And Keenan Allen, 10.6 targets per game. I figured that out today. So I like Keenan Allen this week.
What about DJ Moore or Mike Evans?
Gosh, that's a toss-up as well. DJ Moore's been so good. He's played such a more prominent role than Evans does. And we saw Evans have a big game. I think actually tonight's going to be a Godwin game. So I'm going to say go with Moore over Evans, but both those guys should have great weeks this week.
All right, Emmanuel Sanders or Hunter Renfrow?
If it's PPR, I'm actually going to go with Renfrow, but if it's any other type of league, 0.5 PPR or standard league, I'm going with Sanders. I have a horrible feeling, and I'm a Bills fan, I'm up here in Buffalo, that this is a little bit of a trap game for them. So Sanders has been fantastic, but again, I think that Titans are going to run the ball, slow this game down. That's why I like Renfrow a little bit, but Sanders and standard formats are 0.5 PPR.
Is Christian McCaffrey going to play?
50-50, but this is exactly what they said last week. So it could be Chuba Hubbard's game once again, and if you have him and McCaffrey's ruled out, come in active time, definitely go ahead and use him. But they said 50-50. I got to think if he was 50-50 a week ago, though, he's more trending towards 75-20 this week. And if McCaffrey's going to be in there, you know they're going to use him. So if he's active, I think you've got to use him in your lineup, especially with the bye weeks. So that's what I would say about that. No guarantee. Nothing I've heard to indicate that he's going to play, but I got a feeling that he might this week.
Jalen Reagor or Robbie Anderson?
Can you trust Robbie Anderson? Absolutely not. So I'm going with Reagor tonight. If Tampa Bay has been beaten by anything this year, it's been wide receivers. You're not going to beat them with the run. I don't like Miles Sanders tonight. Gainwell might be okay because he catches passes out of the backfield, but I would go with Reagor. Just given the fact that, as we said, Tampa Bay's been beaten by wide receivers so far.
All right, Chase Edmonds or Josh Jacobs?
I would go with Jacobs. He's starting to get back into the mix of things, starting to get a lot of touches in that backfield. So I would go with him. Edmonds is also nursing an injury, which is a little bit, you want to take a little bit of a step back with him. Plus, I actually think this is a tough matchup for Arizona going into Cleveland. Cleveland has played very well in the dog pound at home both games, so I'm a little bit apprehensive, and they're three-point favorites as well. So I like Cleveland in this game. I think that they're going to slow this Arizona offense down.
Chris Godwin or Devontae Smith?
Chris Godwin for me. Again, I think this is going to be Godwin's week. He was the guy. Antonio Brown got in the end zone. Evans got into the end zone. So I think it's going to be a big Godwin night tonight. I would go with him for that matchup.
Ryan Tannehill or Sam Darnold? Don't laugh.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. I would go with Sam Darnold. I think that still Tannehill, he's going to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, and they're going to try to wear the Bills down who are playing their second long game away from home. So I would go ahead and sit Tannehill, who has not done a lot. I know that this is probably your question, but I would go with Sam Darnold in between the two of them.
Yeah, it really is. All right, do you have anybody else on the waiver wire that people were picking up this week besides the couple of running backs and now Herbert?
Yeah, a few other guys, and just taking a look at had Amon St. Brown from the Detroit Lions. Somebody's got to catch passes for them. So he would be a guy to take a look at. And not this week because they're on a bye, but the week coming out of this, Jeff Wilson from the San Francisco 49ers will probably take over that backfield. Given what we've seen from Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon, they have not done a lot. The two running backs who haven't done anything in this Kyle Shanahan offense. So Jeff Wilson would be another guy, not for this week, but going ahead and taking a look forward. And then just take a look at these lineups. I was taking a look today at the top guys for daily fantasy, and the whole list of running backs, somebody had a designation tag for an injury. So just there could be a lot more stuff that comes out. As I said, in the last hour, we found out that Damian Williams from the Chicago Bears will probably be out. So I think there's going to be a lot more of this in the upcoming days. So just pay attention to the news and notes. You can find them all at rotowire.com.
All right, tell people what they can get at rotowire.com.
Yeah, we've got hockey going already. We've got basketball coming up within the next week. So rotowire.com/free to sign up for your free 10-day trial. And if we didn't get to your question, hit me up on Twitter at Casey Payne, PAYNE26.
All right, I'm going to see if I can make a trade. I'd see if I can see if someone will give me a running back for a tight end. I got Gesicki, so we'll see if I can dangle him. I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Dave.
All right. You think I'm going to be able to wrangle a trade there, Root?
I don't know. Good luck. I think a lot of people might also be in the same boat with you with how many injuries are going on out there that we're all trying to get what we can get.
Yeah, let's see what somebody has as a tight end. Well, I gotta find the rosters on here. Where's the rosters? Rosters, there we go. All right, see if we can do this. And it's on one page, so we like that. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll reset. Bottom of the hour, Nick Fontenot. Little Nicky. Gonna help us out with our NFL picks and college picks. I will race over. Any chance I'm gonna beat kickoff tonight, Root? Without, getting a speeding ticket.
Yeah, good luck with that. Trying to find a place to park. I think you'll be cutting it a little close.
I have a place to park. Park,
well, there you go. That helps.
I got a pass for that. Yeah. Getting to it may not be that easy. Kind of tough to get a speeding ticket on an old shell. Lights everywhere. All right, back after this. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.5 The Soul, classic rhythm and blues.
Hey, this is Stuart Fink from the PGA Tour. You're listening to WNSP Sports Radio in Mobile.
So we got a Bart Scott, Hollywood Brown going thing at it on the internet.
What are they talking about?
I don't know. Bart Scott apparently was talking about the wide receivers that Lamar Jackson has, and he's doing a great job with them. And he goes, Hollywood Brown wouldn't start for anybody else.
Hollywood I don't know Brown, about that.
Hollywood Brown. Well, Bart Scott went through a lot of wide receivers. He may start for the Patriots. Could do that.
I think the Detroit Lions could find a spot for him.
The Jets, right? He'd probably start for the Giants. Probably start for the Giants this week. But apparently Hollywood Brown fired back, and then Bart Scott fired back as well. All right, it's just all in fun and games. Settle down, folks. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root on Titan Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull off a trade. Like you said, it seems like everybody's got banged up running backs, and we're down to Khalil Herbert. It's not great. Although he's on one of my teams, I got Khalil Herbert. All right, and I'll have to pay attention if Tannehill gets his guys back. Right?
Yeah, it's looking like he will. That might help him out.
It may help me out. All right. Let's see what Tannehill's done points wise because Derrick Henry has been fantastic. I've been a big Derrick Henry fan from the beginning. So Tannehill's at 14, 14, 21, 18, and 13. Two of those games are without his wide receivers. But
Ryan Tannehill fantasy points breakdown. How do you like that?
Not great. That's right. That's good radio. That is outstanding radio. That's a good point. All right. 694-1055, 694-1055. We talked about the Alabama issues. Feels like Auburn's got a lot more. But Auburn's issues is let's be honest, a lack of talent issues at multiple spots.
Right. And issues that they're kind of more, if you will, They're allowed to have these right now.
Correct.
In the first year of a coaching change, and they're allowed to.
Because one of the reasons we got a coaching change is the lack of talent.
Yes.
All right. And again, the players that they have are good, right? Tank Bigsby is really good. Jarquez Hunter is good. Sean Shivers is good. Roger McCreary is good. Smoke Monday, probably got a cooler name than Better Play. All right. And Smoke Monday was Don Smith. We may not know much about him, but he's Smoke Monday, so it's a cool name. And was it Nehemiah Pritchett?
Yep.
Yeah, we saw his last name a lot last week. So he, I don't know if he got burnt on the play action. He got burnt on the double move.
Yeah, saw his last name is in the back of the jersey chasing after Ladd McConkey.
So there, that's right. And so he's, so it is a talent deficit with the higher end teams in the conference when it comes to Georgia and Alabama. They probably don't even have the same amount of talent, although there's not much there this week at LSU. They went in and they beat LSU, which is a nice win on the road. And actually, Bo Nix has played well. Against LSU all three times. Okay. But here's the problem now. All right. Now they're playing a team that they should have better talent on. This should not be really close this year. I don't even care what Sam Pittman did last year for his recruiting class. This should be an Auburn win, right? They're not even favored.
Yeah.
Arkansas in 2 years of Sam Pittman has surpassed Auburn in terms of playing on Saturday. Now, Arkansas has run into Georgia, who shut them out. And, you know, the offense of Ole Miss, and out of nowhere, let's be honest. If Ole Miss scored 52 points, did we really think Arkansas was going to come down and have a chance at a two-point conversion to win the game? Arkansas is going to score 51? No. So I know Arkansas gave up 52 points, and I know Auburn has scored 60 points twice, but one was against Alabama State and one was against Akron. Because I got a feeling Arkansas is going to put up over 30 points. I'm not so sure Auburn can. And everybody's resting their laurels on Bo Nix on what he did in one quarter against one team, and that was LSU.
Well, this Arkansas team, they are coached well. They play very, very hard, and they do have really good players. I mean, they've got three of the top five leading tacklers in the entire SEC, all at the linebacker position, led by Bumper Pool.
Bumper Pool, also part of the all-name SEC
team. Absolutely. Grant Morgan, Hayden Henry, also at linebacker in the top five there in tackles. They're really good, man, and he has got the most out of the players that he has. It's crazy. I don't know if everyone expected this at Arkansas. I'd bet you'd be lying if you told me that you did.
I mean, they've put up some points against some teams this year, right? I mean, yep. Was it 20, 40 against Texas?
Yep.
Now, it was only 20 against A&M.
I mean, it was zero against Georgia, but that's
zero
okay.
Against Georgia.
Georgia's been doing that to a lot of people.
Correct. Auburn scored all of 10 against Georgia. And was it a touchdown in the fourth? They scored in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter? I think it was the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, looking at the leading tacklers in the SEC, got to get down all the way to number 10 there to find an Alabama player, Henry To'o with 41, while Damone Clark at LSU has 69.
Yeah, I saw somebody pumping up Damone Clark. Is he second in the SEC in tackles or first?
First.
Yeah. Let's see here. Their whole offense is tailored around the QB run. It wasn't last week. Didn't he throw like 30 times last week? Auburn is top 25 against the run. Well, they better be. Yeah, they should be. That's a good question. Will Owen Papo play? Let's mark that down to bring up to talk to Christian Clemente on.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. We've been waiting to figure out when he will. I just think that's going to be a tough environment to play. And Arkansas, they've kind of got a little bit to prove here. You know, these past couple games for them, that dogfight they got in with Ole Miss, they need to get back to their winning ways. They were feeling so high and mighty. Now they got to get back to it.
Yeah, so some of that passing, some of that running defense by Auburn is a little bit sneaky, right? I mean, you can say they did a good job against the run against Penn State, but Clifford was 28 of 32, right? And they didn't pass it. I mean, Georgia passed it how many times, Root? 20? Did Georgia pass it 20 times in that game?
Wasn't much.
No, it wasn't. Stetson Bennett, 14 to 21. They ran it 49 times for 201 yards. And one of those drives at the in the fourth quarter, right, was just down their throat. Was that the last touchdown? Beginning of the fourth? First and 10 at the UGA 36. Run, 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 run.
Yep.
Now, it's 24-10 or 27-10 at the time. The game's probably over unless you get the turnover. But a lot of that top 25 against the run is because of who they played in the first couple of ball games. So, again, they're going to have to contain KJ Costello.
KJ Jefferson.
I do that a lot, don't I?
That's okay. That's okay. And, I mean, you're in the app talking about their whole offense centered around the QB run. I mean, maybe so, but KJ Jefferson is good enough to beat you if you leave somebody wide open. I mean, he can do that. You know, they run an RPO-based offense, sure, but they've got really good players. And I don't know, just think that's going to be a tough game for Auburn to win.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to – I would have to be thinking they need to hold Arkansas to under 30 points to win that game, is what I think. Let's see what he was last week. KJ Jefferson, 25 of 35, 326 yards in the air. Three touchdowns, one interception. So technically, he outpassed Matt Corral, who was 14 of 21 for 287 and two touchdowns. So – like a lot of quarterback, like Matt Corral is considered the number one quarterback to go right now in the NFL draft. I'll believe it when I see it. KJ Jefferson either outplayed him or was right there with him, passing the football. I don't even know what he did rushing the football. What did he do rushing the football? Let's see here. Rushing the football, 20 carries, 85 yards, and three touchdowns.
There are mock drafts out there that exist that have Malik Willis, former Auburn quarterback, being your first quarterback taken.
Oh, I've seen him right behind.
Yep.
The one I saw yesterday was right behind Matt Corral. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's take a timeout. So here's the issues that all Alabama has. Alabama's issues is that they had this super team for basically 3 years. And it's really tough to replace that. Auburn's issue is they kind of were hit and miss with some of their talent. I mean, Bo Nix did beat Alabama, right? He beat a really good team, although the quarterback was beat up. And they just haven't been consistent. All right. Back after this, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Nick Fontenot up next. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 92.5 The Soul, classic rhythm and blues.
All right. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root on a Tide and Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan. Someone says Georgia had 36 rushing yards at the half against Auburn. Now tell me how many passing yards.
Right.
All right. I counted quickly, 144. All right. Not enough Tide. Be careful. They'll pull you off the air. That feels like an inside joke. We've talked a lot of Alabama. We started with Alabama. We did another Alabama. I'm the new Vern Lundquist. I'd love to be Vern Lundquist.
Nothing wrong with that.
What's wrong with Vern? All right. KJ Jefferson threw 13 and 15 times the two games before that, so I think 35 attempts a game in his. I can't say the word. Say it. Do you see the word? I can't say it. I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to Stu Gotts it. Anomaly.
Anomaly.
I said it right. I got it.
You can do it, man.
I usually get an extra vowel in that. All right. All right, let's do a little betting news, betting suggestions, all right, with my buddy Little Nicky. Little Nicky Fontenot is on the line, taking over for Bruce Marshall. You know, Nick, the word is that Bruce Marshall wanted to go to London to go see Jacksonville and Miami play football. What do you think of that?
That's a questionable decision during a pandemic.
It is a questionable decision. That's a questionable time, not during a pandemic. Right? All right, let's see what we got here. I'm going to use the lines on DraftKings, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's see what we got here. We're going to DraftKings, football, college football. All right, so we will do, why don't we just start off with the game tonight? They are hosting, it's kicking off here in just about 2 hours from right now. South Alabama taking on Georgia Southern, -3. Jaguars should have had a win last week. They kind of blew it. They've had a couple wins and moves on. Georgia Southern's played tough, but they got a new football coach, and they kick off guys that, you know, ride buses to ball games and then chug a beer at the same time. So South Alabama -3, what do you like?
Yeah, I mean, South Alabama's pretty close to being undefeated. I mean, they had that game against the Raging Cajuns that came down to that final field goal. If they'd have made that, they'd have won the game. And then last week, the crazy four overtime game. So, I mean, they're very close to being 2-0 in conference and kind of rolling through. So I think this game against Georgia Southern is an opportunity for them to get back on track. Georgia Southern likes to run the ball. We all know how South Alabama's defense has been outstanding against the run. And I know that Georgia Southern is 7-0 against South Alabama all time, but I think the Jaguars are going to get it done tonight. So I'm going to go with the Jaguars -3. I think they're going to air the ball out tonight. A big game for Jalen Tolbert. Give me South Al -3.
All right, let's see if they can get off to a good start. They do not have a first down in their first possession in any of their five ball games. Arkansas -5.5 there at home against Auburn. Another 11 a.m. ball game. I think Arkansas is playing three straight in that case. Do you think that has any effect on the game, and what do you think of the game?
Yeah, I think it does have an effect on the game. I don't know who it favors or who, you know, gives the benefit of that effect. But yeah, those early morning games are tough, man. You're completely out of your routine. You got to wake up and eat breakfast super early. So yeah, it definitely affects the way they play. I think this is a revenge game. I think Arkansas still remembers that game last year where they got kind of hosed on that spike fumble, whatever they call it was,
and
Auburn kind of won on that field goal. So I think Arkansas is still thinking about that. And on top of that, I just think Arkansas is the better team. So I'm going to take Arkansas -4.5 in this one.
All right. Alabama -17 coming off a, you know, almost an embarrassing loss, a game that they did not play very well in, but in the end still should have won the football game and just could not get a stop or score right at the end of the ball game. Mississippi State gets them at home. Usually these things seem to be at home when Alabama has a loss, they get a tough game at home, but now it's a tougher game on the road. It's still a big point spread. What do you think?
I think this is that classic, you know, sorry, Mississippi State, like you're just the unfortunate victim that has to play Alabama after they just got embarrassed. I think Alabama's gonna put it to them. They're gonna let everybody know, hey, look, yeah, we might have lost Texas A&M, but we're not out of the hunt here. And they're gonna pour it on, put some points on. Mississippi State's really not that good. Alabama's still, you know, one of the elite teams in the country. So give me the Tide. I think I have it at -17.
Yep.
Just give it to me. Whatever the spread is, give it to me.
All right, we're talking a little Nicky Fontenot. We're talking NFL, college, and then the NFL picks. We're doing the lines on DraftKings today. All right, so big ball game in Knoxville. Lane Kiffin returning to the scene of the crime, back for the first time as a head coach. Tennessee +2.5, hosting Ole Miss. Do you like that line at 2.5, or do you prefer, geez, that over-under is 84 points. My goodness.
Yeah, that's where I'm going, Dave. I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to win the game, but that's not my bet. My bet's that over. I'm taking the over 84. When you look at those big numbers, historically, you might be scared to take them because the number's so high. But those things usually hit. You take the low unders and the high overs, the bell curve on that usually is in your favor to take those high overs. So my bet on my card is over 84. But if you're asking me to take a side, I'm going to take Tennessee to win this game.
All right, let's see here. We got Kentucky and Georgia. Seems to be a very big line. Georgia's at home, 21.5, but Kentucky's also 6-0. Maybe Kentucky's most impressive ball game was last week because they've had some win and moves on. They didn't even play very well against Florida, but still beat the Gators. Georgia -21.5 at home.
Well, I hope Kentucky enjoyed their little time in the sun because it's over this week. It's a wrap. Georgia's going to put it to them. I like Georgia big. I think they could put this line at 40, and I think Georgia would cover it.
Oh,
I think
really?
Georgia's going to put 50 on them. Give me Georgia. I had it at -23. You said 21.5. That's even better. Give me Georgia all day.
Now, this other ball game in Baton Rouge has, you know, because Ile Gay is out, Eli Ricks is out, Stingley Jr. is out. I don't know if anybody's playing. I don't even know if Ed Orgeron's going to be there. LSU, I mean, it's got to be Alabama. The only other time they've been a double-digit home dog like this. LSU is +11.5 at home against Florida. I think you would think that Dan Mullen and Emory Jones could do anything that they want, but the Gators have had trouble covering this year. They're going on the road. There will not be a packed house in Tiger Stadium, maybe 80,000, and it's an 11 a.m. ball game. You would think that would help the Gators. Florida, 11.5-point favorites on the road in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the 11 o'clock kickoff in this one. It definitely helps Florida, and I think Florida's going to win the game, but I think 11.5 is too much. I don't see a scenario where LSU comes out on top. I think they're just done. I think Coach O's done. I think the whole thing is just a mess. And so I think Florida's going to win, but I think it's going to be a one-score game. I think LSU's going to have a chance to maybe sneak in there at the end of the game. And if they make a play, they might be able to tie the game or win the game. But I do like Florida in the game. But give me LSU plus the points.
We're talking a little Nicky Fontenot as we're doing our college betting. All right, well, we'll sneak in my Orange, who are actually 5-1 against the spread. I do need one more win to go over the win total of the year, which would be a total of 4, to collect my bet. And you know how much big money I put on those over-unders. Syracuse at home, always a Friday night. They've beaten Clemson before, have played them tough. Clemson has not been that good, although I guess the defense has been better. The Cuse getting 13.5 points at home against Clemson.
Yeah, this is really tough. I think that spread is right on the money. I think it's going to be right around 2 touchdowns. I mean, I think Clemson's going to win the game. I don't know about the spread, though. Clemson is down this year. It's a tough game to handicap. I probably, if I were like actually in Vegas or something betting these games, I'd probably stay away from this one. Right. But I'm going to pick a side for the game. I'm going to take Clemson to cover. 2 touchdowns is about where I think it is. It's really close.
He's just trolling me. little Nicky Fontenot with our picks. All right, let's go to the pros. What about tonight? Can the Buccaneers stay hot? Brady with his bad thumb taking on the Eagles. Buccaneers minus 6.5 in Philly.
Well, Dave, you know I'm a Saints fan. I'm trying to figure out an angle or figure some way right. to pick the Eagles. Like, I really want to pick the Eagles, but I just can't do it. I think the Bucs are going to cover. I think the Bucs have to win this game. I think, you know, nobody's really talking about it nationally, but the Saints are 3-2. Like, they're not going away. They're right on the Bucs' heels. I don't think the Bucs want to go drop to 4-2 while the Saints are on bye with the 3-2. So I think the...
Did we just lose you? Are you still there?
I was here. Okay. I was hearing some feedback. I'm sorry. I don't think the Bucs want to go to 4-2 and have the 3-2 Saints on their heels like that. So I think the Bucs are going to cover tonight. Give me the Bucs -7.
Settle down with your Saints talk. All right, the Saints are not winning 11 ball games this year. They might win 10, but they're not winning more than that. That's going to be a roller coaster ride all year long. Still, did he leave? Are you still there? We lost him. All right. Now we lost him. Yeah. I like the Saints too, but I think that's, you know, and Michael Thomas coming back. The defensive guys are coming back. I think that's going to be a long way. Are you back?
I'm back.
Yeah. Settle down about the Saints. That's going to be a roller coaster all year long.
Hey, don't sleep on Jameis Winston. Come on.
Well, you can't sleep on Jameis Winston because in one breath he's throwing a 70-yard touchdown, and another breath he's fumbling. You can't sleep on Jameis Winston. You miss all the fun. All right, a big ball game in Baltimore. The Ravens -2.5 against the Chargers +2.5.
Yeah, I think these are the two best teams in the AFC. I like the Chargers in this one. Not by much, though. Spread's pretty on there. And, you know, the only thing I don't like is whenever those West Coast teams fly across the country, have right. to play that early kickoff in that early window. It's like 10 a.m. on their home clock or whatever. I don't really like that for the Chargers. But I like the Chargers. I like the Rams in the NFC. I like the Chargers in the AFC. Super Bowl's in L.A. this year.
Right.
I like the whole conspiracy theory angle.
Right. Yeah, very well could be. All right, let's go to the Cardinals and the Browns. Not an 11 or an early start. That's a 4 o'clock Eastern time start for Arizona in Cleveland. Cleveland, surprisingly, a -3.5-point favorite against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm already sick of hearing about Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, roommates in college, back-to-back Heismans. We get it. They're friends, right? All right, we get it. Just move on and play the game. I think Kyler Murray has a little bit of an edge here. I think he's more fun to watch, so that's really the only reason why I'm picking him. I like the Cardinals +3. I think Kyler Murray is going to get a couple of rushing touchdowns, if that affects you fantasy-wise. Anyway, but I like Kyler Murray in this one and the Cardinals. Give me the Cardinals +3.
Well, hold on. Were they actually roommates in college, or are they roommates in the Heisman house? Are you conflating reality with commercials, or what?
I'm just here. I'm just doing what I'm told, Dave. I don't know.
All right. One of the would have been a highlight game, but I don't know. Patriots. This is one of those lines, Nick, that I look at, and they're just begging you to take the Patriots, or they're begging you to take the Cowboys, really. The Cowboys are -3. They're begging you to take the Cowboys. There's no way that this game should be less than a touchdown. Patriots got all kinds of issues on the offensive line. The running backs cannot hang on to it. They can't throw the ball for more than 15 yards in the air. Why are the Cowboys just a 3-point favorite? That's got trap written all over it.
100% agree with you on that. I have no idea what this line means or what it's saying, because the Cowboys are legit.
I'm sold
on the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are a contender. They're way better than I thought they were. Dak Prescott is proven to be worth every dime that they paid him. I don't understand this line, so that's why I'm going with the Patriots. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Right.
It makes no sense. So usually when that happens, Vegas knows something that I don't know. Give me the Patriots.
All right, we'll wrap it up. We got the best team in the NFL. I happen to think the Bills, -5.5 on the road against the Titans. Root's telling me that Tannehill's getting his receivers back. We'll see. You do have Derrick Henry versus Josh Allen. This is a heck of a matchup, but I still think I like the Bills, -5.5. What do you got?
I love Josh Allen. I just love watching him play. I love the type of player he is. I think he's the best quarterback in that draft class that came out with all those guys and everything. I can't root against them, and I can't pull against them, and I'm not going to bet against them. So just give me the Bills -5.5 simply because Josh Allen is too good. I think Root's onto something with the Titans. I think they're going to put up a game. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover or even win, but I'm going to roll with the Bills. Give me the Bills -5.5.
Are there any games out there that you specifically like? Like that Giants-Rams game is not quite double digits. Maybe the Rams are taking the Giants lightly, but I don't know who the Giants have, and it's under 10 points. Is there another ball game that you particularly like?
Yeah, so I like the Chiefs -6.5. That's what I have it at. I've seen some places have it at 7, but man, if you can get that under a touchdown, the Chiefs cannot afford to lose again, and Washington is a mess. I mean, they have all kind of stuff going on with those emails and distractions and everything, and I think the Chiefs, if they lose this game, I mean, they're done. I think it's a must-win situation for Kansas City. So that's kind of like my, I guess, if I had a lock of the week, I would say Chiefs -6.5. If you can get it under 7, you got to jump on it.
All right, Little Nicky. Little Nicky Fontenot, really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Dave, thank you.
All right. Did you write those down, Root?
We'll go back and listen to it.
I'll go back and listen to it. Yeah, I'll do that. All right, let's make sure we get those and post them. We are up to 133 votes. How many games is Zion going to play between the opener and Thanksgiving, which is just over a month? That's technically more than 20% of their schedule. 60.9% don't think he's going to play at all. One game is 4.5%. Two is 9.8% and almost 25% after three. So, and it kind of tongue in cheek when we gave a little bit more range the last time. Last time it was 76% thought they were going to be, he was going to be playing more than 10 ball games. Now you got 60%, 61% thinking he's not going to play any.
Things change
fast, David Griffin. All right, back after this. All right. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. Trying to figure out what the person in the app is making out with the yardage that Auburn had versus Georgia. They had a good first drive, but they, you know, kicked a field goal. Sean Shivers had one off the top of his hands, end up in the hands of a linebacker, and Georgia had a short field. I'm trying to figure out where we're going with this. In the second half, it was 252 to 149. Also, it was 17-3 at half. So yards, what are you suggesting? I don't, you know. Is this who I think it is? What's up, Perry?
I got a serious question for you.
You always call with a question. Go ahead, Perry.
Do you have anything positive to say about any of our area sports teams, the Braves, Saints, the Bama, anything positive? I heard y'all bad about it. Oh, blah, 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 blah. All I hear is blah, 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 blah. Do you have anything positive to tell these listeners out here that tune into you every day?
You want me to lie to you, Perry? Is that what you want? You don't want
the
truth? I
just want you to be a little bit more positive, man. People listen to you every day, and all you do is trash our teams, especially mine. The Yankees are sitting at home watching us play in the NLCS. Am I correct?
I haven't said anything about the Yankees. And let's
You talked about Yankees and Syracuse.
That's it. Hang them up. I'm done. All right. Let's make sure we go back and talk about this because now he got under my skin.
Feelings hurt.
All right. Yes. Now he's upset me. All right. This whole Yankee Brave thing got into it because the Yankees were a hotter team than the Braves. That's all I said. The Yankees stunk for most of the season, had a good 2 weeks, and then finished up okay and got into the playoffs. I'm not rooting against the Braves. All right? The Braves have gotten much farther than I thought they would. They haven't won that many ball games. They're going to go up against a team that's won 106.
This is the Tide and Tiger Report on 105.5 FM and online at WNSP.com. It's all Auburn and Alabama sports with Dave Schultz, brought to you by State Farm agent Heath Parker.
All right. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. 10, 9, 8. Going to calm down after that. All right. On a Tide and Tiger Thursday afternoon game plan, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. We got Christian Quente coming up at 5:30 from AuburnSports.com talking Tigers. Let's talk a little Tide with Nick Kelly with the Tuscaloosa News. Nick, how are you?
How are we doing? Great to be with you.
We're doing okay. All right. So what do you assess? How has Alabama progressed, do you think, from losing Saturday to, you know, Thursday before heading off to Stark Vegas?
That's a good question, and I don't know if we'll have the full answer until we get to Stark Vegas,
right.
Just because the way that they practice every week, there aren't drastic differences. That was one thing I talked to some players who were on the 2010 team when they lost to South Carolina in a very similar kind of scenario. And they said that, yeah, practice looks similar. It's not that it's drastically different, but just a matter of how are the players basically adhering to practice or how are they responding? And yeah, I think it's something where we'll find out on Saturday to see how they respond. Because a lot of these issues were not massive mistakes. It's just little small things that added up to one big loss.
Yes, they did not play very well. I don't know if I buy the whole, you know, John Metchie wasn't focused on the catching. Like, what do we think he was thinking about if he wasn't thinking about catching a football with less than 3 minutes left to go? They had more than that drop, I realize. They just were not sharp from the get-go. And yet, let's be honest, they still should have won the football game.
Right, and that's where it's like, you know, don't hit the panic button just yet if you're a Crimson Tide fan, because they had plenty of opportunities. It's just needing to capitalize on those. But as far as drops, it was a problem in this game. They had 6 drops, which, according to Pro Football Focus, is half of their drops this season. And so whether it be focus or whether it be just being distracted by, I mean, if there's a defender who's nearby or you're trying to make a play, or there's so many different things that factor into catching a football. And so much of it's muscle memory, too, and just needing to somewhat tweak that at times. And so I don't know if there's a distraction per se. It just sometimes, unfortunately, catches don't happen. But it was a problem in that game for this team. And Metchie, I believe, had 3 drops. And those are defined as catches that the receiver just didn't make. It not necessarily a play that a defender made on the ball, but just simply the receiver not making a play. And so, yeah, it's something they need to clean up. And I asked Slade Bolden about that this week. Just how do you fix catching? And he just said it's something you just got to rep over and over again. And so I don't know if there's an easy fix, but it is something that was a little bit of a problem in that game.
Do we have other issues with the offensive line? Was that a thing that maybe A&M figured out? They overload one side of it?
Yeah, the overloading was a big problem, because you'd see at times where you have 3 guys coming at, like, say, Evan Neal and Javion Cohen, or Evan Neal and Brian Robinson trying to block 3 guys. And as good as a guy like Evan Neal is, or even B-Robin pass pro, it still is tricky to stop 3 guys. And so, yeah, it's a matter of slotting the protection over, making sure they see that. And some of it is disguised, so it's not necessarily like, oh, how didn't you see that coming? But when it's loud and communication is difficult, sliding that protection is not easy to do. And so it's something they'll have to keep working on, especially as this O-line, because it was a largely, you know, new group in terms of where guys are playing. Even though Evan Neal returned, he was on the other side. So there's just that cohesion. And especially in a loud environment where you can't hear anything, and communication is the biggest thing you need to be able to pick up those blitzes, that can be a big problem. And so it's something they got to work on because, again, it'll probably be loud in Starkville. Maybe not quite as loud as the 12th man makes it in College Station. But, it's going to be interesting to watch to see how they can progress in terms of picking up those overloaded sides.
Do you think Mississippi State tries to do the same thing, or they just try to do what they do and A&M did what they did?
Well, if you're smart, why not play copycat? if it works, yeah, I mean, why not try to? But also, there's the phrase, if you've got red paint, paint the barn red. So if they don't have the guys to be able to pull that off, they need to also make sure that they're not getting out of character if you're Mississippi State. But yeah, it's something where you're looking at those weaknesses on the O-line, and how can you take advantage of that? And they'd be wise to look at that tape last week.
Who do you think has improved the most on the O-line?
Good question. I mean, in terms of a guy who has been quite solid, Javon Cohen, you know, he came in not technically as a starter. He started the year as a starter, but not as a returner. And he's been really solid. I mean, him and Evan Neal on the left side, I really like. And if I'm calling running plays, which I know has been the point of discussion for many this week in terms of wanting more running plays called in certain situations, I might want to run over the left side every single time because everyone knows about Evan Neal. Cohen, I've been impressed by when I've looked at him. And so that is the side that I think if you're looking at an O-liner or even a guy who's improved or just gotten really solid this year, Cohen's one of those guys.
We're talking to Nick Kelly, Tide beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News. There seems to be more and more talk about Evan Neal. I've seen him like number two in mock drafts. You know, my friends were joking early on in the season before the Jets and the Giants had a win. And I was like, you know, they're like, who could they take? And I'm like, well, Evan Neal is probably going to be right there for you. Keep an eye on that guy. How has he improved? Because he just seems, you know, that just seems like the most solid part of the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument he's their best player. And, of course, mm-hmm. Will Anderson's right up there too. But,
right.
But yeah, I mean, Evan Neal, whether it's his measurables, his abilities, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the clips on Twitter. Other people have too, where
right.
You just see him just bullying a guy. And it just looks like he's a man amongst boys at times. And so, yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily been drastic improvement because he's been really solid throughout the year. At this point, unless something drastic changes, he very well could go in the top five and could be a guy playing on Sundays very soon.
Have you tried to do the jump lunge or something like that? Have you tried to do that?
Unfortunately, I have not, because it would not go well. My vertical has never been great, and even if I worked on it, I might be able to get, like, a stool height, not, 20 feet in the air that he did that.
Yeah, it was at least 10 feet, right? Yeah, so let's see. What's your measurables?
Not good. That's all I know.
Well, I was just going to ask your height and weight.
Oh, my height, yeah. Well, I'm not 6'7". I'm about 5'10", so that already puts me at a big disadvantage there.
No, you're at a big advantage. There's a lot less of you to jump.
That is true, right. But I'd like to think that, you know, I'm sure some physics person could tell me, I didn't do too well in that class, but could tell me that size advantage does provide some kind of force, mass, you know, whatever equation you want to use.
Right.
I didn't do well in that class.
Me neither. All right, let's go to the defensive side. Will Anderson needs some help. Who can that be on that defensive line?
Well, it's not going to be Drew Sanders this week. Right. He, of course, was ruled out yesterday by Nick Saban, and that's a blow because he was solid at times, especially as a pass rusher. And so good chances are that we'll see Dallas Turner again. Maybe we'll see some Chris Braswell, who knows. But really, it's probably going to have to come from guys like Phil Mathis, who is also one of their best pass rushers as a more interior guy. But whoever it is, they've got to figure something out and try to get some more pressure on the quarterback because what they did last week did not work. But it is going to be tough this week against Mississippi State because they get the ball out quick. And so it's not necessarily a guy just dropping back and sitting there waiting for these guys to get there. So it's going to be a challenge this week.
So what do you see? How does Alabama play this defense against Mississippi State? Do they dare Mississippi State to run kind of like LSU did with a three-man front dropping eight guys and seeing if Will Rogers can sort of pick them apart, kind of, you know, the opposite of what they did the year before when they scored 45 points against them, and don't care if they, you know, run for 4 or 5 or 6 yards? How does Alabama sort of treat that? Because I heard he's going to play a lot of defensive linemen.
Yeah, it's a good question. And in my elite defensive mind's opinion, would say, yeah, drop more guys. Of course, I'm not an elite defensive mind. So I'm not sure exactly the right answer, but I will say that this is a Mississippi State team that really does not run. And like, they don't there are some teams that just kind of don't run, but this team really does not run. They are last in the SEC in rushing attempts, right, and they are first in the SEC in pass attempts. And so it's a team that you basically ask them to run because they don't want to, and they're not going to try to. And so if I'm a defensive coordinator, yeah, I'm willing to give up the run because you got to stop the pass. That's what Mississippi State wants to do.
All right, so how do you go about doing that? Do you just try and tackle the guys quickly? Because it's really tough to go get the quarterback, and that's one of their issues anyway. So maybe they just kind of try and knock down the passes instead of trying to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think maybe it's some more man coverage and just jamming guys at the line and getting them out of their rhythm. Just because that's what you know, a quick strike offense is built on, is getting the ball out quick and getting the hands of your playmakers, almost like some de facto runs, because it's such a quick pass or short pass. And so Alabama's got some physical, strong guys. And, of course, now they can get you in trouble if they go for something more deep. But if they're trying to go after the short game or make sure you're not beat with the short game, jam guys at the line, bring guys up man-to-man, and just see what you can do to throw them off their path.
And then what do you think Alabama wants to try to do offensively? Do we think are they going to overreact to not running the ball as much as everyone thinks they should have last week and just try to pound Brian Robinson? Because he had a really good game in between the 20s last week.
He did. And I don't see that happening just because, again, maybe we see more runs, but there's a difference between becoming a rushing offense like they were against Ole Miss and just seeing more runs. And so, yeah, I think maybe we'll see some more, but also I don't think we're going to, again, see that quote-unquote murder ball like we saw against Ole Miss.
Do you think there was a little bit of panic in everybody last week? As someone said, was it DJ Dale said, we got punched in the mouth and we didn't react very well, right? Bryce Young sort of flustered for the first time. Nick Saban not calling timeouts at the end of the half. Then he got flustered by that question. It seemed like everything was off a little bit last week when they were behind. And again, they come out in the second half. They play lights out defense. They had the one special teams snafu. And then they couldn't finish at the end, as Nick Saban said today. Do you think this was the first time this group of guys has kind of been flustered?
Yeah, I don't know if flustered is the exact word I'd use. More so just reality, given a reality check. When you haven't lost in 19 games, you start to feel invincible. I mean, I can't blame them for starting to feel like you can't lose for all these college sophomores and freshmen having never lost a college football game. And so I think in some ways it kind of resets things for you where, in the car ride that the season is, if you will, it's basically opening the window, and oh man, there's some fresh air that can maybe give them some energy here, and realizing that it's not just straightforward. And so I think that maybe it was a little bit alarming, just because a lot of what they've done for the past however many months since that last loss in 2019, things have gone pretty well. And of course, there's been a little bit of adversity at times, but in terms of game flow, things worked out very well in 2020. And other than the Florida game this year, there wasn't anything that was flustering them too much. And so this is the kind of thing that will help, I think, reset things and give them just that reality check that you maybe need when you're cruising along so well as they were.
Yeah, that Florida game was a little bit – people missed some of the point of that because they had a bad second quarter. In the second half, they played really well. And then when they had to run the ball to run out the clock, they did, right? They had the ball three times, and they scored twice. They should have had a touchdown, but that was a drop two. So that game, I can understand, went very well. So I'm maybe not flustered, but like you said, that's the first time they've had to deal with it. So I'll ask you what I asked people at the beginning of the week. When did you think that Alabama was in trouble, and when did you think they may lose the football game? Because I'll answer that. When it was 17-7 for me, and then I didn't think they were going to lose it until they did. I thought with under 3 minutes to go, they were going to march down and kick the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, I think maybe when I started realizing, okay, they might be in a little bit of trouble, was after the second turnover, because they had not lost the turnover battle in the first half at all this season. I don't remember the exact number, but I think they were +5 in the first half. And so when they lost two turnovers, you knew that something was up. And of course, they're talented enough to overcome that. So it's not that I thought, okay, they're done, but I was more so, okay, upset alert, this could go badly. But again, they should have won. Even they had opportunities to win, so they were they're still good enough that it wasn't to the point that people need to be hitting the panic button and that, oh, man, this team, you know, they were outplayed, outclassed. Like, they just didn't finish when they needed to.
All right, what are you working on over there at the Tuscaloosa News as you're getting ready to head over to Mississippi?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, and a shameless plug again, I had a story come out today comparing the 2021 Alabama team to 2010. Mm-hmm. Some kind of crazy similarities to the point that October 9th was the exact date of that loss, too. And so I talked to some guys from that team to get some perspective on maybe what this Crimson Tide team can learn from them, because that team ended up losing three games that year. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing to check out from this week, and of, you know, scouting reports and all the other kind of stuff to get ready for the game.
This is like one of the shorter road trips you guys have. This is like an hour and a half.
I might as well bike. Just, you know, get some exercise while I'm at it.
So. You really could. You really could. Nick Kelly, Tuscaloosa News. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take it easy.
All right. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of positives, right? I'm talking about, I wanted to hear from you guys what you think the issues are that are fixable now. I don't think it's the end of the world with Alabama. I still think they're going to be in the playoff.
Yeah.
Although it's all about what we talked about
and what the standard is, what the expectation is every single year with Alabama.
Right.
And they lose a game. We got to break it down. We got to figure out what they can do better to not do that again.
Correct.
I mean, come on.
Correct. And again, I'm one of those guys that gives people a break. People use excuses. You hear that all the time from coaches. Well, that's just an excuse. No, you're playing with your second-team wide receivers, right? You had your first-team wide receivers. They're all hurt. Your second-team wide receivers are in. They're not as good. That's why they're the second-team wide receivers.
If all we had to compare Alabama to was Vanderbilt, they're the greatest team to ever take the field ever.
Well, that's what I said. They had this super team for 3 years, right? The talent from, where are we, from 19, 20, and 21. Or no, I'm sorry, 18, 19, and 20. We didn't even include 17. That's a spectacular amount of talent on one college football team, and it's really tough to live up to that. And here's the other thing, right? Everybody's gunning for you.
Yep.
Everybody's going to give you their best shot, even a not-so-great A&M team.
You lose a game, and it wasn't a fluke loss. You know, Alabama didn't have five turnovers in that game. It wasn't a fluke loss like we've kind of seen in the past.
You want something positive? Here's the other thing. The Alabama guys, the players, were not making excuses. The players did not say, oh, we dropped the ball here, if we converted there, if we didn't throw the interception there. No. They didn't make the excuse. They said, we got beat. No. All right, Alabama Nature Boys hopping on. How are you?
Hey, guys. You know, it's like, if Latu hangs on to that touchdown pass in the end zone, Alabama wins. It's, you know, it's really hard to win every single game that you play again and again. Nobody's ever won them all. Eventually, everybody got your night. You know, it's just, you know, when it's Alabama, it's like, oh, no, the world's coming to an end. Alabama lost the game. But nobody wins them all. Yeah.
Nobody. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's why, I mean, that's partly why I did bet the under, because I just – I didn't know who was going to do it, and I'll be honest with you, but I picked him 42-10 last week. I certainly didn't think A&M was going to do it. No, they just lost too much talent, and that's college football for you, right? That's why Saban's come back, because he's still going to have three or four first-round picks this year. He's going to have three or four first-round picks next year, right? The problem was he's had, 18 or 20 over the last 3 years. You know, that's the thing. All right, let's take a timeout. Let's see if I can be packed up and on Dolphin Street by 6 p.m. route. Let's see. I will text it out when I arrive at Hancock Whitney Stadium. Problem is everyone else is going to be arriving. This is not like a Saturday arriving at 6:30, right? Everybody else is going to be arriving when I'm arriving. I mean, they may be a little bit earlier, but there's going to be plenty of people who went home, maybe got something to eat, and then are going.
You'll get there when you get there.
Well, that is deep thoughts with Stephen Root. You will get there when you get there.
That's what I do, baby.
Let's take a time out. Bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Christian Clemente, Sports Radio, and we'll talk Tigers. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Back to the Tide and Tiger Report. Call now at 694-1055 or take part on the WNSP app. Once again, Dave Schultz.
mean, Rude, I'm bad, but I'm not this bad.
Who did what?
I got some pending trades in the app.
I did get an alert on my phone. I don't know which league it was in. Did you see one that is trying to get done? Is that what you're looking at?
They're looking. No, they're yes. They're doing it with me, I thought. They've offered me the trades.
Well, tell me who it is, because I saw one.
Oh,
I didn't know which league it was in.
I've got Alvin Kamara and Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki's on the bench because I think I got Waller.
Dolphins tight end.
Yeah. A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith.
That's basically A.J. Brown for Alvin Kamara.
Yes. And I need the running backs.
Well,
that's a no.
That would be a hard no. I saw someone, my email was somebody trying to trade Marquise Hollywood Brown to somebody for DK Metcalf.
Oh, God. So someone says, maybe in the one, oh, is this a different one? No. Receive Sony Michel for Cooper Kupp.
Hard no.
Come on. Yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
People just trying to test you, Dave.
I'm certainly willing to give something up, but not, you know. You want to give me Ryan Tannehill for Tom Brady? Is that the next thing you're going to do?
Yes.
All right. We do have some comments in the app. All right. So I did come back after Perry. Let's see here. Love hearing about the Yankees in Syracuse, which we haven't really talked about for a week and a half. I asked him to pick the Syracuse game because it's tomorrow night. It's okay, Dave. It isn't bedwetting Homer about Braves and Bama. How is Atlanta local to Moss Point or wherever where Perry is from? I did. I'll post a question to Perry. Can you ask a question without insulting someone? The only way you feel better about yourself is by insulting or trying to make someone feel bad about themselves, and I'm sick of it. I did say the issue with Alabama was they put together a super team for 3 years, and it's tough to live up to.
Yeah, that'd be Pascagoula, not Moss Point.
All right. I have a three-hour talk show to fill every day, and I thought the issues Alabama has makes for a good discussion. You know how I know I'm right about their issues? You didn't have an answer for them. All right. Someone in the app, Dave, laying the smack down. I guess you need to say Alabama and Auburn are going to play in the national championship game every year. The Saints winning the Super Bowl, the Braves winning the World Series, and every other team is trash. I still root for them all to win. I am an unabashed homer. Now, of course, there was $50 in me that needed Alabama to lose one game this year, and then, you know, I'm not exactly retiring on that. You and Root do a fine job. Don't let Perry disrupt your game plan.
Thank you.
All right, I would hate to be MSU right now and somebody else. No one is saying it's the end of the world, but there are weaknesses in roster and coaching staff. I don't even know if it's a weakness in the roster. It's just not as good as this all-time team that they had is the only thing. And they made some mistakes last week. All right, they still should have won the football game.
There are holes that need to be figured out. If they want to win a national championship, they got to figure some things out.
So put it this way, if they had a win and move on, say they go down and score and they win – they win 41-38. They'd still have the same issues.
We'd be talking about them, too.
And they'd still, they'd still have the same issues. Say Metchie doesn't drop that one. There were other drops in the game. Mm-hmm. And they still threw the interception in the end zone. He'd still have the same issues, except they'd be doing it over a win. It's not like they lost 42-10. They still, after being down by two touchdowns, after giving up only 24 yards and four possessions, they still should have won the football game.
Do you remember the score you predicted for the game on Saturday?
Which one?
Alabama.
The new one? I don't think we've done it yet. Have I done it? Oh.
With Scott and Tracy, I don't know if you did or not.
I said a little bit less, but like I thought it was like
you've got the right to change your mind.
Like 34-13, something like that.
Okay. I will go 35-23.
Oh, see, I don't think Mississippi State's going to score that much. I really don't. All right. I'm not sure. He's right. Bama was in the game, but they had not played well the entirety of the game. I mean, they really played poorly in that second quarter, right? I mean, they played poorly in the first half. They just did. All right. What you want for Sony? All right. Keenan Allen and Julio for Aaron Rodgers. That's a different one. Well, maybe that's people are doing trades in our app, Root. I do have Sony Michel in one of my things. All right, but that's not the one where I need a running back. And how do you play Sony Michel? I need a starting running back. All right, back after this. Not even on that team. Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, we talking Tigers. Chris Clemente from AuburnSports.com. Coming up, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Welcome back to the Tide and Tiger Report. Call now at 694-1055 or take part on the WNSP app. Once again, Dave Schultz.
All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP, Tide and Tiger Report. Appreciate the support in the app. Tell Root every time. All of a sudden.
Businesses come in all sizes.
Whoops.
And Trustmark fits
I'm hearing something in the headphones. There you go. I tell Root all the time, it just takes Perry for everyone to come on my side. It's amazing how that works.
Sometimes you get the loudest, you get the loudest hate from, you know, the smallest group, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. And really it's just one person, actually. Let's talk a little Auburn Tigers. He covers them for auburnsports.com. It's Christian Clemente. Christian, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I'm doing okay. All right. How has what was the biggest issue following the Georgia ball game for Brian Harsin and the Auburn Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at the drops. Pro Football Focus credited them with 7 drops. That number, honestly, probably could have been a little bit higher. Balls were just bouncing off the hands of receivers. I mean, it was stuff that middle school players don't really struggle with, and Auburn was struggling with it. And talking with the players this week, they said it's just kind of a lack of mental focus. They're just kind of they're in a slump a little bit, and they're in their own heads. So it's something that they need to fix immediately because they cannot afford to keep just dropping simple passes, and that was a huge issue in the game.
So, I mean, I'm one of those guys that accepts reasons where people other make excuses, right? It doesn't matter for, say, example, we're not talking specifically Auburn, but say, you know, you're playing without 4 of your 5 offensive linemen and you didn't run the football very well and didn't protect your passer. And you're like, well, coach, you were without 4 out of your 5 starting offensive linemen. He's like, no, that's an excuse. I would say, no, that's a reason. This seems like, I mean, can it really be a lack of focus? What else are they thinking about?
I mean, I don't have the answer for you. I think Auburn wishes it had the answer, and Brian Harsin wishes he could tell you what the issue is. I mean, they've already fired the receivers coach earlier in the year, and they moved on to someone else and tried something different. I mean, the results still really haven't changed. They're still having issues. Before, they were having issues with linemen. Now they're having issues with drops. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right,
it's simple stuff. The first thing a receiver has to do is catch the ball, and they're not doing that. So that's the problem.
Not to put it all on his shoulder, but he does shoulders. But I guess in this case, right shoulder. Does Bo Nix have to take something off of it? Are some of those passes a little hot coming in on short yardage situations?
I think they've maybe been coming in a little hot, and, you know, the passes might have been a little high or a little low or just a little off. But they're still very catchable passes, and these receivers and the tight ends and the running backs are all just not bringing them in for whatever reason. I don't think the blame should really fall on Bo at all.
All right. How do they get their running game going again? It seems, I don't know if they just were going up against Georgia. I don't know if that's just the issue. We'll see what they could do against Arkansas. Usually plays a 3-man front. You know, is that part of this game plan against Arkansas is to hand it off to Tank and to Jarquez Hunter?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge part of the game plan. Coming into this game, Arkansas ranks 98th nationally in stopping the run, and they're 11th in the SEC, I want to say. So they struggled to stop the run. They gave up over 300 yards on the run to Ole Miss last week and like 250 or so to Georgia the week before that. So Auburn has a great opportunity this week to really get its running game going again. You know, they are a run-first team technically, or they'd like to be at least. But LSU stacked the box, and they forced Bo Nix to beat them. Bo Nix ended up beating them. And then Georgia just has enough talent that they didn't even really have to stack the box, but they were able to contain the run. And they said, hey, we'll try and let Bo Nix beat us, and he wasn't able to do that. But against Arkansas this week, I think Auburn has a great opportunity to really get going again in the running game with Tank and Jarquez and Sean Shivers.
I have contended that Hunter is actually better than Tank Bigsby. Not a whole lot of people agree with that assessment. Have you tried to break down the defense with Tank in there versus Jarquez? Like, they do stack it against Tank, and they don't stack it against Jarquez, and Hunter kind of runs outside anyways.
you know, I haven't really looked into the defense too much, but they have just a little bit different running styles. And I think Jarquez is honestly works a little bit better right now with the way the Auburn offensive line is blocking. They've struggled to create holes, and Tank just runs. He runs a little slower. He's a little more patient. He likes to wait and see, but his offensive line isn't creating enough holes for him to be able to run through. So then he gets stopped. But Jarquez, he sees his first option, and he hits it, and he's been very good at that so far. So I think Jarquez, I would honestly agree with you. Up to this point in this season, Jarquez has been better than Tank.
Coming to AuburnSports.com soon, Tank Bigsby versus the rush defense and Jarquez Hunter versus the rush defense. Is that what's coming up? You're welcome to try and break that down.
I'll have to look into it for sure. All right,
what do you think? So this just occurred to me. I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out. We're talking to Christian Clemente. But maybe it was just this ball game. Maybe it's the LSU game. I don't know. He played pretty well in that in the fourth quarter, made some spectacular plays. It doesn't feel like the game has slowed down for Bo Nix. Whatever it is, it just doesn't feel like it's slowed down. What do you think?
I would certainly agree with that. I mean, we're 2.5 years into Bo Nix's career at Auburn, and I think Bo is Bo. He likes to run. You know, some of these play designs are perfect, and if a quarterback sits in the pocket, waits a little bit longer, makes one more progression, the play works a little bit better. But Bo is Bo, and he would rather, if his first option or his second option isn't there, he'd rather go and take off and run somewhere else. And, you know, sometimes, like against LSU, it's going to work, and he's going to pull off some crazy plays. And then against Georgia, they're going to have way too good of players out there, and it's just not going to work. So, I mean, I think Bo is Bo. The game hasn't really slowed down. He'll pull some stuff off, and at other times, he'll get stopped.
I mean, it feels like they have just as good a chance as him drawing up a play in the huddle than him going out and running whatever play is called.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I just think Bo is a quarterback. If his first read, honestly, it's just his first read. If it's not there, he's probably going to take off and try and play backyard football a little bit. It works sometimes, and it doesn't work at other times.
All right, we're talking to Christian Clemente, AuburnSports.com. Any chance that we see T.J. Finley in this ball game, or has that played itself out?
You know, I don't think so. I think Bo is going to have to string together a couple of bad performances for T.J. to really have an opportunity to go back out there again. I don't think T.J. was all that bad in the one drive he got against LSU, but there was just some failed execution there, and then obviously they chose to go back to Bo, and Bo was really able to earn that spot with his performance. So I think Bo would have to string together, you know, a couple of games worth of bad performances before they consider going back to TJ Finley.
I had someone suggest to me that if he doesn't make that touchdown right at the end of the half, that TJ Finley's going to start the second half.
Against LSU?
Right. Did he have that touchdown right before halftime?
Oh yeah. The touchdown right before halftime. You know, that it's possible. It's tough to tell with this coaching staff what they believe in with the quarterbacks, but I do think that LSU performance alone earned Bo at least a couple of weeks of the starting job without really being questioned too much.
All right. So what do you think is – I mean, I don't know what to think of Arkansas. Jefferson has played extremely well. They've beaten A&M. They've beaten Texas. They're in a shootout with Ole Miss. Whoever thought that Arkansas would be in a shootout with Ole Miss, and yet they were. Yeah, exactly. I mean, whoever saw that coming? What do you think the game plan is here? Do you think it is, like you said, to run the football, maybe take the air out of the clock, make Arkansas play, you know, defense for 5-6 minutes, or do you think they're going to try and get into a shootout like Ole Miss?
No, I think it's going to be the first. I think they're really going to try and run the ball as much as possible. That's what this team really likes to do, and they haven't been able to do it. So I know they're going to be itching to get back to it. And like I said before, Arkansas struggles to stop the run. They're going to attack that. There's no reason in making Bo the guy this weekend. He's proven that he can do it at times, but why rely on Bo when you have Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter that can carry the ball and an Arkansas defense that can't really stop the run that well? I think Arkansas is really going to be fired up coming off 2 straight losses. I know it's an 11 a.m. game, so it's tough to get the crowd into it at times, but I think they're going to be pretty fired up, and Auburn's really going to want to play a little slow and try and take the crowd out of it that way.
Are you going to be able to pose as a student and get a breakfast burrito from Sonic from Eric Musselman, the basketball coach?
Oh, man, I ended up not being able to go to this one, but that would have been a good call.
Right. Did you see that? He went to Sonic to order
a thousand.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And he was out dunking today on like a 4-foot basket. So he's having, it's hilarious. It's fun. So you like it when that's the case. And Sam Pittman seems to be the same sort of, I'm here kind of Uncle Sam kind of attitude that we have. So are you, because this is a little bit different than Auburn playing Georgia, where I thought that the talent level was, easy for me to see, and I don't really know all that much when it comes to football. Like, I won't be able to tell the talent difference between Alabama and Georgia, although there may not be that much talent difference. But you could see it between Auburn and Georgia. Here, shouldn't Auburn have more talent than Arkansas? And what does that mean if they don't beat them?
I think, honestly, Auburn does have more talent than Arkansas.
Right.
But I would also assess it that I think Arkansas is a better team. I think they've just put things together quicker this year. I think maybe whether that's better coaching or the players just playing a little bit better, I think Arkansas is a little bit of a better team. Auburn, I would certainly say, has more talent based off recruiting rankings and stuff like that. But they haven't fully been able to click so far this year. So it really would not shock me to see Arkansas win this game, especially with it being a home game.
All right. What are you working on over there at AuburnSports.com?
Yeah, we've got a little Arkansas Q&A going up tomorrow, a preview story on Saturday, a couple of them actually, and then we'll have game coverage all this weekend.
All right. So what are you doing this weekend? Are you off this weekend?
I'll be watching the game from home.
Okay. All right.
I am a student still, and I wasn't able to get out of classes on Friday and be able to fly up to Arkansas. So just working the game from home this weekend.
You're welcome to use it, but you're going to owe me. I have trademarked hashtag tweeting from the couch. Just to let you know.
I like that one.
All right, just to let you know.
I'll send you some bucks, a couple bucks over to use that.
Yeah, all right. If you get like a gift card from somebody, that'll be fine. All right, we accept it. Okay. We accept it in trade, too. I'm certainly not taking money from a student, I'll tell you that. It is Christian Clemente, AuburnSports.com. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.